up.
And I want you to take very good care of this young woman.
Oh, thank you, Beverly.
She doesn't have much in the way of career prospects. Don't make her responsible for her own orgasms as well.
On Triple J.
Now, I don't have any problems talking about sex and sexual health, but if you're tuned in right now, you might either, might not either, actually. Some of you actually listen if you want to learn a thing or two, which is also pretty cool. But if you come from a culture where talking about sex is a serious no-no, then it could have a bit of an impact on your sexual health. Now, if you come from an ethnically diverse background and you're like, if you would never bring up talking about sex or relationships with your parents or any of your family because you just don't do it, then I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 1-300-055-36. You might have come here from another country to move and live out here, or maybe you're an international student and you're experiencing this now, then I'm talking to you. This is you. Now, this week, I went down to a community health centre in Richmond, in Melbourne, which works with people from refugee, migrant and asylum seeker backgrounds to help them improve their health. And I spoke to a couple of young women about their experiences talking about sex. And look, as you'll find out, being silent about these issues can be a little bit problematic.
Can be very difficult to talk about sex because honestly, when I came over here, even I sort of felt, should I be getting involved in something like this?
That's Rena. She moved to Australia a couple of years ago to study her master's as an international student. She's now got a postgrad degree in public health and works at improving the sexual health of young people, like herself. Coming from a culture where sex isn't really discussed, you can imagine how it might have been telling her family what she does for a job.
It was sort of difficult to make them understand that what I'm going to do, because when I told them I'm going to be a sexual health peer educator, their first question was like, whoa, sex. Like, in our country, it's like if you talk about sex, you're probably someone with bad character. It's not just in my culture, in many different cultures as well, it's not good to talk about sex. It's a taboo till now, even this day.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It took me some time to make them understand that what actually I'm going to do, and I'm going to help people to avoid having sexually transmitted diseases and live a healthy life. And then over a period of time, they understood and now they're happy with that. So it's a good thing.
Rachel came to Australia 10 years ago and recently finished her undergrad degree in health as well. She has a different story about how she came to Australia though.
I was born in South Sudan, but my family migrated to Kenya. So I was probably two at the time. So I grew up in Kenya. I lived in the refugee camp for 11 years before coming to Australia. It has been really difficult for people in my community to talk about sex. And I may find it easy just because, you know, I've gone through education. But then within the community, maybe some young people, same age as us and probably had the same experience in Australia would have find it easy to talk about sex, but maybe between themselves but not with the parents or the older people in the community because it's that gap actually.
So do you find that perhaps like between friends it's not so bad to talk about sex or, you know, where to get condoms or, you know, how to perform safe sex, and it's kind of okay between friends, but maybe
between some because there might be that thing where, you know, I don't know who my friend is connected with and they might go and talk about what we talked about. So
what might happen then?
Stigma is big part of it. People will have perceptions around if you talk about sex or you're doing this, you're doing that, people see you as, you know, like being involved in really bad behavior.
If you're not open to discuss about health issues, how could you be open to discuss about using contraception or deciding what sort of contraception you want to use? Like, that's a vital part in a relationship where you need to negotiate with your partner. If you can't talk about sex, you can't talk about the precautions, you can't talk about the options you have.
If there's lack of information about these kind of things to people, I reckon it gets really difficult to even talk about what you want or how you want to play, you know, safe sex.
international students have been particularly suffering from unplanned pregnancy issues. I have seen friends, colleagues. There are a lot of people, honestly, I have seen who do not have an idea when they get pregnant what to do. Having an unplanned pregnancy is like a total disaster. In certain cultural backgrounds, having sex before marriage is a bad thing. It's a crime. And they are socially excluded from the society. So that is one of the main reasons why people don't want to talk about sex, because they're too scared that they will be branded as someone who's bad or whose character is bullshit.
Also, because of the preservation of people's virginity, the risk for some young women is tremendous around STIs through anal sex.
This is Alison Coelho. She's the co-manager of the Centre for Culture, Ethnicity and Health in Richmond, Melbourne. She works with Rena and Rachel, who help out at the centre.
People are having more anal sex in particular communities to be virgins when they get married. Of course, that's not actually what's happening.
Yeah.
And when you are talking about gender inequity, the condom negotiation or any of the other precautions is sort of null and void. You know, it's not going to happen. So more work needs to be done with young men from both community, you know, international students and refugee and migrant men.
One way the Centre tried to get the message across to young refugee men was by running a songwriting comp. The Centre helped them record and write their own music.
Body, calm down and just listen to the G. Always use protection or you get the HIV.
So these cultural differences are one way where young people are disadvantaged when it comes to sexual health knowledge. And Ali from the CEH says that there are many other issues. It seems that when you've moved to a new country and you're trying to settle in, having an itch down there or remembering to wear a condom might be a low priority.
You know, you're dealing with other things such as language acquisition, poverty, finding work, engaging with school, crime, and also in particular for refugee communities, intergenerational conflict is quite significant. I mean, when you're looking at reconfigured families where, you know, your mum might not be your mum and there's a whole range of other issues going on, or dad's been resettled with you but you've lived here since you were three and now you're a teenager and dad's just come over from whichever refugee camp, that's going to create some conflict. International students, part of the mobile population group that we look after as well, one thing that they do, both those groups have in common is often they've both missed out on sexual education during high school period. So I guess in Australia we just assume that everybody's had access to sex ed in schools, and that's not the case. So for a lot of young people who aren't engaged in school, they miss out. If you're in a refugee camp, you miss out. You know, we can't assume that every country provides that information in the same way. So these are the population groups that we really need to focus on so that they enjoy their sexual lives but are really, really safe. The other great issue for young people is getting interpreters and feeling safe and that the information that they're discussing is actually confidential, especially for newly arrived communities where there is a small community. The interpreter might well be an auntie, a relative or someone from that same region who might disclose. Even though there are professional standards around interpreting, this is not uncommon that this has happened, and young people know that. So they will travel great distances to see a health professional to seek out that sort of sense of anonymity. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to understand the information. And we've had instances, for instance, where a young person has been with a health professional with an interpreter disclosing, you know, their same-sex attraction when the interpreter has stormed off. So that young person is less likely to ever go back to less likely to agree to having an interpreter. The ramifications of that for that young person's health outcomes long-term-wise are huge.
So while all of us face different problems when it comes to sexual health, if you've come from a community where you should never talk about sex, there's just this extra battle you have to fight. Rachel says that older people from different cultural backgrounds need to understand that things are just a little bit different here.
If I get a chance to, like, talk to some of our mothers or, you know, people in the community when they say the rules around sex and this is how they communicate to their kids, no sex, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then these young people, they have schools they go to, they have other social activities that they mix with other young people within other communities, and you can't be out there and be very reserved, like, you know, I'm from this cultural background and I can't speak to you about this and all that. So what I would tell the older people, if I get a chance to talk to them, is just finding the balance to, you know, to understand that, you know, your children are being raised in this country. It's different to where you were raised from, and it probably worked for you because maybe everyone was doing the same thing there. But in here, other people are doing different things, and they might be practicing good things. You never know, and it's really good to go out there and experience and see how other people live, how other people tackle these health issues.
The Hookup on Triple J.
That's Rachel finishing off that story there. Look, if you have experienced this, if you've experienced not being able to talk to your family or anyone because of the way that your family or your culture has connected with sexual health, or maybe more accurately, disconnected, I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 1-300-055-36. I've heard from you on the text line, 0439-757-555. You've said, I'm 24 and I've never been able to talk to my parents or my brother about sex. It definitely feels like this is a massive void between us. At one low point, I went through an abortion with my ex-partner. That was terrifying because I was young and never expected to be in that position. Worst of all, I couldn't talk about it to my family, the people who were closest to me. That was a huge life-changing experience, and they still don't know about it or what affected me during that time. 1-300-055-36. If this does not, if you've experienced a real disconnect about how you can talk to people about sex, give me a call, 1-300-055-36. And you're on The Hookup on Triple J. I'm James Finlay. It's great to be with you tonight. Coming up soon, we're going to talk about closing the orgasm gap between men and women. Sexologist Tanya Coons will be in the studio to talk about why this gap exists and how men can please women and make sure that everyone comes as much as they like. But right now we're talking about the difficulties that people have if they're from a different religious or ethnic background that might build barriers to the way that you can talk about sex with people. And in a moment, we're going to hear from Dr. Amita, who will tell us about how some of these issues are with Burmese refugees here in Australia. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Amna, you've given us a call. You're in Sydney, and this is something that's really relating to you.
Yeah, a little bit, James. So I guess I've had a long-term boyfriend for the last 2 years, and I'm like super psyched, really like this guy. I think this could be it. But the thing is that I would probably never be able to tell my parents, well, at this point at least, just because I'm from a very conservative Muslim background. Mm-hmm. And so for them, because he's not Muslim and because he's not Arabic, it would never happen. And I think that's been like a big thing my whole life. It's been like growing up in a different country, growing up in Australia and seeing all these awesome people and wanting to connect with them and talk to them about things like this,
yeah,
but always feeling like I couldn't because mum and dad kind of don't like talking about that stuff. Yeah.
What are some of the things that your parents have said to you in regards to sex and relationships? If
honestly,
anything.
Not that much. Yeah, yeah. Like what they do say is very conservative. It's very like, I think for them, you know, sex is definitely something you do after marriage, and for them to even think that I've had sex before marriage would be terrible. And I think it would mean to them like I couldn't actually get married. You know, they're still in that kind of mindset. So,
yeah.
Sex isn't something that we talk about over the dinner table. At all.
Well, yeah. No, I think that happens in most households. So that you got something in common there. So okay. How long have you been dating this guy for?
It's been 2 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I know. So it's a crazy thing to keep from like your parents because you love them so much and you want them to be a part of it,
yeah,
especially when like you're happy.
How is your boyfriend? How have you been able to kind of do this with him? Yeah, because surely, like, he would have got to a point where he's like, oh, so when can I meet your parents?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was him a week in because he's that kind of guy. And he was like, oh, great. So let's all just meet our families now. but I think for me, whenever, because like obviously I've been relationships in the past, and in the past it's been like from the outset, I kind of have to tell them, like, I come from a family that won't accept this and, like, won't be accepting of this, and I don't want that to affect whatever this is, so I'd rather, like, see where this goes, and then, you know, when it gets, if it gets serious, then we'll do something about it at that point. I think his family has been incredible because they kind of get it, and they always talk about it as if, like, they talk about it in perspective of kind of Italian and Greek families a generation ago.
Well, yeah, looking for Alibrandi.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And how, like, some of their friends who are now married and have been married for yonks, you know, they started off their relationships where one of their parents, you know, couldn't know, and they took up the girl at the bottom of the street far away from the house because they weren't allowed to be seen. And so they kind of get it in that sense. But it is hard living it. It's hard being the person who has to kind of, like, just tread all the time.
I know.
The same things. Yeah.
And I guess, like, watching, like, those movies and seeing that it all works out okay in the movies is a little bit different to living it in real life.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like my life is a bit like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, like that feeling. Like,
yeah,
that absolutely. Cultural kind of barrier.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for giving us a call, and all the best with it. Like, I hope, like, I'd love to say that I'm sure it'll work out, but, you know, I don't know. But all the best, and yeah, I want to know how it goes too. If when you tell your parents, get in touch with us, yeah?
Yeah, sure, I will. Thank you.
That's Umna calling from Sydney. I'm James Finlay, and this is The Hookup, your one-stop shop for all things sex, relationships.